All right, we are talking, we're in the middle of our series on living on mission. We've been talking about living on mission for several weeks now. Pastor Dan brought up how we can live on mission in our family life last week. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, we'll have that posted this week, and we'd love for you to spend some time there. But I want to look at a passage that we're going to focus on here today in John 13, verses 34 and 35. This is what we're going to focus on here, this particular passage. And we'll throw it up on the screens. But John is writing, and he's quoting words from Jesus. And Jesus says this. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." That's what we're going to focus on today. And I think as we enter into, we've been saying this for several weeks now, but as we enter into this season of kind of in the middle of spring, we're looking towards summer. Although the last couple of days have been like summer, haven't they? More of us are beginning to spend more time outside. I kind of joke that in the winter, I thought my neighbors had moved because I just didn't see them, you know? And so now you're seeing more of your neighbors. You're seeing people at soccer practice and taekwondo, and maybe you're walking the neighborhood. You're seeing coworkers more regularly. So these are prime opportunities for us to think about how can we live on mission, right? Outside of the four walls of the church. How do we live on mission? How do we share the love of Jesus? Because we've been saying that the most powerful form, the most powerful way to witness of our faith is not through the platform, right? It's not this. It's through people. It's through us. And so that's what we're going to focus. We all know this, that relationships are just central to life. They can bring us the greatest joy. They can also bring us the greatest pain as well. But God's mission doesn't run aside from relationships. They happen because, and they happen through relationships. You know, Jesus did not just come into the world and just sort of set, or Jesus, God did not just say, "Hey, here, there's a set of principles or beliefs that we're supposed to follow." You know, like the Bible sort of like dropped out of heaven one day and said, "Hey, read this and you'll learn all about me," right? Set of spiritual doctrines or beliefs or whatever. No, God sent his son Jesus into the world. We looked at the passage in the Gospel of John a couple of weeks ago, and I love the way Eugene Peterson talks about it, that says that Jesus literally moved into the neighborhood. He literally, John 1:14 says, "The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." That's what God did through Jesus, right? He didn't just stay up in heaven and say, "Man, y'all are in big trouble, figure it out," right? He said, no, "I'm going to come fix this. I'm going to come be with you." And so Jesus ate, and he slept, and he fished, and he spent time with people, right? He often went to people who were most rejected in society, people that were, you know, considered untouchable or unlovable. Those are the people that Jesus reached out for, and that's how he carried out the mission. He came near, he built relationships, he broke bread, he cried with friends, touched the sick, and he forgave sinners. And then I'm always astounded, kind of astonished by this. When he left, what did he leave behind? Did he leave behind a building? No. We're going to talk about a building at our congregational meeting, but you know, I'm excited about that. But he didn't leave behind a building, right? He didn't leave behind a program. You know, do these things and then it's going to work out. Everyone does it the exact same way. No, what did he left behind? A group of people. He left behind some disciples. Not just the 11, but there were, as we know, Jesus had a huge following of both women and men. But he left this group of people, and that's who changed the world, right? Through the Holy Spirit, through the power. Today's Pentecost Sunday. That's why I'm wearing red today, because we usually wear red on Pentecost Sunday. And so Pentecost is a day we remember that at 40 days after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in a very powerful way in Acts chapter 2. And it literally turned these scared disciples who were afraid behind locked doors when Jesus had died into men and women of fire and steel who literally turned the world upside down in just several hundred years. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And And that's who Jesus left behind. He changed the world through people. And then just before his death, just before his death, those are the words that he said in John 13, love one another as I have loved you, so you must also love one another. Now, I want to challenge you guys this week to read the whole portion of John 13 because it's interesting where this comes into play. Because if you read before that, a couple of things happen. Number one, Jesus washes the disciples' feet, right? This is sort of John's Last Supper scene, if you will. He washes the disciples' feet. Peter says, hey, Jesus, I'm not going to betray you. And Jesus says, yes, you are. You'd like to hear those words from Jesus, right? He says, yes, you are. And so it's in the midst of feet washing, of betrayal, that Jesus gives this commandment. And it's all in the shadow of the cross. All of this is we just walked through the Gospel of Mark and walked Jesus through his earthly ministry to the cross. But in the Gospel of John, we're not at the cross yet, but it's coming. And it's this turning point in Jesus' ministry. He knows that his time is coming to an end. He's preparing to go to the cross. Now, I want to look at, if you go to the front of the chapter, in verse 1, we read this. It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So he's showing them how much he loves them. And what does he do to show them that he loves them? What's that?
He dies for them.
Yes. Yes, he's going to die for them. But even before that, Anita, what does he do in this passage? He actually washes their feet, is what he does. But no, you're right. I mean, he does die for them. Yes, that is correct. That's a great answer. But he gets down on his knees and he washes their feet, which is a task of a servant. If you know the first century at all, you know that there weren't, you know, we didn't have Nikes back then. Okay, we didn't have cool shoes. You wore sandals. And we didn't have paved roads, right? It was dirt. And there were other things on the road as well. And so your feet were messy. They were dirty. And so you would come into someone's home. And usually it was a task of a servant who would wash a guest's feet and clean their feet. And so it was a lowly task in that culture, in that day and age. But what Jesus says is, I'm going to show you my love by doing that. I'm going to do that. And so he says, hey, if you want to know, and then he says, if you want the world to know who you belong to, it's not from your sermons, it's not from your church attendance, right? It's not from how much you post on Instagram or Facebook, how much God loves you. It's actually by your actions. It's by living this out and how you love one another. And so he's talking to the disciples and he says, hey, this is how you, if you love one another, the world's going to know. Which in essence, if he's talking to the disciples, he's talking to the church and he's talking to us, right? He's talking to you and me. And so there's a little challenge in that. It's literally how we love one another in this room is how the world will know that God loves them. Are we loving one another the way that Jesus loved us? And so here in the next 5 minutes or so, we're just going to spend the rest of our time doing a foot washing ceremony. Is that okay? Because like, what kind of church is this? So we're not going to do that, but this is the mission, to live it out. So last week, Emily and I, we went to Columbus, Ohio, and we went to our general council, the Christian Missionary Alliance. If you know about our denomination here in this church, there's about 2,000 churches in the U.S., and then we have really thousands of churches globally, but about 4,000 people gathered at the convention center there in Columbus, and it's just really powerful to see the movement that we're a part of. We have to remember that we don't just gather on Sunday in this room, but there's 130 or so churches in our denomination in the Metro District, which is New Jersey, the five boroughs of New York and Philadelphia, and then about 2,000 in the U.S., and then of course overseas as well. But it's just cool to be part of a family that's doing kingdom building work. One of the things that we did was our president, John Stumbo, had served 12 years, and he came to his term limit. He was a great president, but his time was up. And so we elected a new president, Jonathan Schaefer, who's out of Cleveland, Ohio. We think he'll do a great job. We elected a new president for this season. But during that, during kind of the transition of what's going to be taking place, this happened. Not this, but you'll see it in a second. Okay, it'll be there. Don't worry. This happened. John Stumbo got on a knee, and he washed Jonathan's feet. Pretty powerful. Now, Dr. Stumbo told Jonathan, he said, you can put your own socks on, okay? He said, back in the Bible days, there weren't socks, so you can figure that part out by yourself. But he washed, the old president washed the new president's feet. Now, can you imagine if in 2020, Donald Trump would have washed Joe Biden's feet? Or if in January, Joe Biden would have washed Donald Trump's feet? Okay, whatever. I mean, who cares about the names? But, you know, just think about in our politics, we don't see necessarily the servant leadership in that way, right? That's not the nature of our politics today, either, any of it, really, in many ways. But this is the ideal of the way that God calls us to love and to serve one another. And it's a challenge for us, friends. And so I want to challenge us with that. So how do we love in this way? I've got a couple points that we'll just walk through briefly together. Number one, love is not optional. It's a signature of a disciple. We all know this, but it's just important to be reminded that love is not optional. The Greek word that Jesus uses in this passage is agape. There's a couple different Greek words that are used in the Bible for love. But this idea of love is a self-giving. It's a sacrificial love. It's compassionate. It's the rightful, the righteous pursuit of another's well-being. So this is a love that doesn't ask, what do I get out of this? It's a love that says, what can I give even if it costs me something? What can I give even if it costs me something? So sacrificial, compassionate, the pursuit of another's well-being. Now, I always try to remind you guys that when I'm preaching from the Bible or I'm up here and I'm sharing these things with us, because it sounds good, right? Agape love. Yes, we should all love in this way and be sacrificial and all do all these things. Sometimes you think that means that I'm just doing it perfectly. And it should be easy for all of us just to love in this way, right? It's not, is it? It's not easy to love in this way. And it's not easy for me to love in this way. I've got a reminder on my phone that every day pops up from it's a quote about sort of how to be a man in this world. And it's from a guy, John Tyson, who some of you know. And in the quote, it just says that masculinity is the joyful pursuit of sacrificial responsibility. The joy, every day, it just pops up. The joyful pursuit of sacrificial responsibility. Now, I would argue I'm pretty good at the sacrificial responsibility part, but I'm not always good at the joyful part. All right, don't look at my wife over there, okay? She'll affirm what I'm saying. I'm not always good at the joyful part. I'll sacrifice for you. I'll sacrifice for my family or for my friends, or I'll do something. I'll give you the shirt off my back, but my heart sometimes wrestles with the joyful part. With the just going above and beyond, just pursuing the good of another person. Does that make sense? Thank you, Anita. I love it. Thank you. I like to talk back, Anita. It's good. You can be like Anita. Talk back, okay? The point I'm trying to say is that it sounds like it's easy to do, but this is harder to do. Yeah, maybe during a church service you can wash somebody's feet, but to actually literally bow down and serve people day in and day out, people that you live with or that you work with, it's so much more challenging. We looked a couple of weeks ago at this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, out of the Message version, but it's a great reminder of what God calls us to do. He says, watch what God does, Paul says, and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, we hope. Mostly what God does, I love this phrase, mostly what God does is love you. That's mostly what God does, right? It's, God's not angry at you. God's not mad at you. Mostly what God does is love you, and sometimes he disciplines you so that he can show that love and experience that love. But keep company with him and learn a life of love. Last Sunday, I wasn't here because we had my great uncle had died, and we went to the funeral and went with my dad, and we got to see not only the tombstone of my great uncle, but my grandparents were there, my great grandparents, and you're looking at these tombstones, and they all have, you know, something nice that's written on them. Can you imagine if that was written on your tombstone, that, you know, so and so kept company with God and learned a life of love? That'd be a pretty good life, right? Keep company with God and learn a life of love. Not learn the Bible and all the doctrines of the Bible, not show up to church every week, but learn to love. Observe how Christ loved us. This is the agape sort of love. His love was not cautious, but it was extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. And we're called to love like that. And so that's the mark of a true disciple. Jesus loved Peter even after Peter denied him, even when Peter denied him. He loved Thomas, even though Thomas had many doubts. He loved Judas, even when Judas betrayed him. And he loved us while we were still sinners. He loved us while we were still sinners. Paul says in the letter of Romans that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? While we are still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Hey, maybe somebody would die for a righteous person, maybe, but God showed his love for us that while we were still sinners. You know, you all clean up well. Y'all look good. You got to remember how wretched, no, I'm just kidding, not how wretched you are, but you got to remember that God loved you even in your worst, even when things were not going well, even when your life was a mess. That's when God showed his love for you and died for you. And so that's the kind of love we're talking about. It goes first, it forgives, it gives itself away. And I think that's the kind of love that changes people as well. Point number two, and I think this is how the world will see Jesus when we love like this. Point number two, mission flows through relationship. Mission flows through relationship. When we talk about living on mission, what we're saying is that Jesus' method of evangelism, of sharing the good news of the gospel, it wasn't a campaign. Right? It was about connection. It was about real relationships, sharing a meal with people, stories, shedding tears together in time. And he calls us to do the same. And so as we think about living on mission, we think about evangelism, sharing our faith. If we just think, oh, well, it's when somebody walks through these doors, we're to welcome them and, you know, give them a connect card and say, hey, do you know Jesus, kind of thing. Now, when somebody walks through the door that's new, we should be nice to them, right? We should greet them. We should welcome them. But really, this stuff takes place outside of the walls of the church. Because if you guys haven't realized yet, nobody attends church anymore, right? I told you this. You know, I drive in and, man, people are riding their bike and they're going to brunch. And I'm like, this is amazing. I want to do this. Okay, I probably shouldn't say that out loud. But I love you guys. I love being here. We said a few weeks back that your workplace might be the only place your coworker hears the gospel. I think that's true. We also said, what if your neighborhood is the only place your neighbor hears the gospel? They may not hear it in a place like this. And so we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus where we can. We have to remember, I said a few weeks ago, that the term neighbor is not just those people around us, although it could be, you know, our direct neighbor. But as Jesus defines it in Luke 15 with the parable of the Good Samaritan, it's whoever sort of crosses in our path. And so if you have to take the train up to the city for work, it could be the person next to you. If you belong to the Willow Swim Club, it could be the person sitting next to you or swimming with you there. It could be the soccer parent that you see a couple of times a week, or your book club, or the person that gives you your coffee every day. Right? Those can be the people that you have opportunities. And so don't overlook those connections. We live in this sort of busy and this fragmented world. And I think especially in New Jersey, right? Somebody lives here, they work here, they go to church here, they have a good restaurant or friends here. It's sometimes hard to make these connections. And so don't just look at literally the people right there where you live, but think about your neighbor as the people that you come in contact this week. So I talked about these missional connections and how we're encouraging our church to share what this looks like. And I want to give an example from Lorraine, who shared yesterday. And this is what Lorraine she already sent our first missional connection in, and I think it plays this idea of neighbor. Here's what she says. At a medical visit, I had the opportunity to speak with a nurse about my faith. She intensely listened to what I was saying about how Jesus helped me handle my life. As everyone knows, life is not easy, right? And she said, she told me she was a Catholic, but I could see she was struggling with her faith. Although she believes in Jesus, she didn't know about it being a personal relationship with him. So I explained the main difference between sort of the Protestant and Catholic to her, and she embraced it. She told me that she didn't read her Bible. I told her she could download the Bible on her phone and start to read the Gospel of John. I explained how much God loves her and is proud of her and wants to have a personal relationship with her. I told her how Jesus is with me every second of the day, and I couldn't function if I didn't know that. She gave her name and said she's married with a few daughters. And Lorraine said, as per my mission, you know, she gives those blessed dollars. You know, you guys see, you guys take that to the bank. This woman asked Lorraine to write on the dollar so she wouldn't spend it. But it says this woman was amazed because she never, listen to this, she never works in that office. And Lorraine's only there once every 6 months, praise God. And she really needed to hear what I told her. I explained that there are no coincidences with God, and that it was predestined that we would meet. I feel our conversation will make a difference in her life, and I felt so joyful leaving that office. Thanks for making our first missional connection, Lorraine. So sometimes as we build relationships with people, right, it takes years, and we're trying to reach our neighbor, and we're trying to just share the love of Jesus with them, and it's conversation after conversation, and the kids are playing, and you know, it takes months and years, right? But sometimes it's just one moment. And I don't want to miss, like, Lorraine, like, you could have been focused on, hey, I've got a medical appointment. I want to make sure my body's okay. And I'm worried about, you know, you're worried about the things that are going on with you. Or you could be thinking about, hey, just want to get in here and get out. How many times do we do that in our life? Whether it's the dentist, the doctor, grocery store, whatever it is, so often we're just focused on getting through and getting to the next thing. But here was an opportunity for you to share. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, well, all right. Set the bar a little high there, okay, you know? I could see you doing that, though. I could see you doing that. So maybe, you know, something like that. You know, start at a minute or two, and then you can work your way up to an hour, okay? All right, let me just give it. We're gonna close here. But let me just give us a couple of practical ways that we can be missional. And you know, sometimes some people worry, like, are people just thinking of me as being nice? And sometimes, you know, we should all be nice people. But what's the difference between, like, being nice and sort of being on mission? I think a couple of these practical points can actually help us do that. You know, you almost want to, like, love people in a way that's not weird, but a little, like, they ask, like, why are you so nice? Or why are you so sacrificial? Why are you loving me in this way? Right? It creates some opportunity. So here's a couple ideas. Be interruptible. Jesus was constantly interrupted. He always had time, right? People matter more than your schedule. I wrote this, and it just hurts me to say it because I don't like to be interruptible. I've got a schedule, and I want to follow it. But I gotta work on it. Practice presence. Stay in the conversation, right? Look people in the eyes. Get off your phone. That makes a big difference, you know, create opportunity. One of the things I like to do, because you guys, you know, we know this, that in New Jersey, they force us to pump our own gas, all right? Have you guys seen, like, we have the governor election on Tuesday, right, or the primary, and you've got all these questions about policy and, you know, what does this person and that person believe, and one of the questions is, do you want to keep pumping, them pumping your gas for you? And there's actually time spent on this. Well, one of the things I like to do, I like to just get out of the car and sort of awkwardly, you know, hand my credit card and then like start a conversation with somebody. You guys look at me weird. Okay, maybe you don't want to do that. All right, just sit on your phone in your car and just wait. Okay, whatever. All right, number three, share your story. You don't have to have all the answers. Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. Lorraine shared that. Show up consistently, especially with those neighbors or coworkers that are in our life regularly. Just show up again and again and again. And then meet a need, right? So someone's overwhelmed, if they're grieving, if they're sick, if they're discouraged, give them a meal, a ride, a note, something like that. Ask good questions. We do not have all the answers. Be curious about other people. You begin to earn their trust you'll earn their trust to be able to share. And then sometimes it does mean inviting. Sometimes it does mean inviting them to maybe the park in a couple of weeks, maybe church. Maybe it's just as simple as, can I pray for you? And I always say, try to pray for that person right there, right? Don't just say, I'll pray for you, because I always forget, you know? And so you want to pray. And all of this, friends, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, but all of this is because of what we said a few weeks ago, that we love because Jesus first loved us, right? I do not want this idea of being on mission, making missional connections. It's not about, it's not shame, it's not guilt, it's not you have to do this. And it's not even that we're trying to convince or manipulate other people. We're not trying to manipulate. We're not trying to convince other people in a negative way. We're just simply trying to say, hey, Jesus loved me, and he did this in my life, and I want that same thing for you. I want that same thing for you. And the person might take it, they might leave it. That's not for us to decide, but he calls us to do that. But he just, remember, he doesn't say do it when it's convenient. Don't just love the people that are just like you. He says, love one another as I have loved you, this sacrificial love. And I think when we do that, people will see, wow, these people are really loving. Why are they so loving? Well, it's because Jesus first loved us. Someone loved me first, and his name is Jesus. And so I just want to invite you to just bow your heads with me and just pray with me that the Holy Spirit would challenge us this week. That the Holy Spirit would challenge us. Lord, we pray, the Holy Spirit, we pray to you right now that you would challenge us to have eyes to see and to have ears to hear who in our lives you want us to be missional to. And we pray, Lord, that you would begin to help us make these missional connections, whether it is with a coworker or a neighbor or even a family member or a friend. Lord, we so often feel insecure, or we feel like we don't know what to say or how to say it, but really, if we just share life with people, if we love them, and we just share what you've done in our life, that's all you've called us to do, to love people right where they are, share life with them, share our story. And it all happens in the midst of relationships. And so some of us say, hey, we need to carve out some more time for relationship. We're just too busy. We go from one thing to the next. And so would you help us reflect this week on how we can make some more space, make some more time for relationship? But Lord, ultimately, would you remind us what you just said in 1 John, that you have loved us. Would we be reminded of your love today? Your graciousness, your forgiveness, your grace, that you wash our feet, you sacrifice for us, and help us to do the same. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.